And welcome back to episode 62 of Talking Marketing, the podcast where we sit down with industry leaders and accomplished marketing professionals to explore the strategies, systems, and creative thinking behind brands that stand out. And before we dive in, a quick thank you to our sponsor, Brick Marketing, a trusted Boston digital marketing agency with 20 years of experience helping businesses drive strategy and implementation that solves complex challenges. Brick Marketing achieves business, sales, and marketing goals by offering the following solutions: SEO, GEO, content marketing, social media, PPC, email marketing, website development, and AI marketing. You can learn more about them at brickmarketing.com, and we are grateful for their support in making this conversation possible. Marketing is often taught as a universal language, but anyone who's actually practiced it across cultures, industries, and continents knows that it is anything but. Today's guest has spent over 15 years of doing exactly that, building brands, leading teams, and driving business growth across three distinct spheres: South Asia, the MENA region, and North America. Amrita Dutta started her marketing career in Mumbai, moved to Dubai, where she spent nearly a decade leading marketing functions across luxury retail, consumer electronics, FMCG, and broadcast media, overseeing cross-functional teams, owning P&Ls, and managing multi-million dollar media investments. She then made a deliberate move to United States, earned her graduate degree at Northeastern, and has since been applying the global depth to North American B2B space. What makes Amrita's story particularly compelling isn't just geography, it's the range. She's launched luxury Switch watch collections in the GCC, built brand ambassador campaigns with Hollywood talent, and is now aligning marketing, R&D, and product at a global B2B firm to turn technical innovation into commercial impact. In this conversation, we are talking about what it really takes to build marketing leadership across cultures, the pivots, resets, and organizational lessons, and what marketers everywhere can learn from somebody who's done it across three very different worlds. Amrita, welcome to Talking Marketing.
Thank you, Chetna. Thank you so much. That was such a lovely introduction.
Yeah, for our listeners, would you like to add something to your bio and let listeners know about yourself?
No, I think you've done it perfectly, but just to give a more holistic approach to the entire situation, I have a background not just in marketing, but also in science. So my position at Multisorb sort of aligns into those as well, because I'm a chemistry and microbiology graduate as well. So it kind of aligns into the technical formats of the products that I work with. And in addition to the MBA in marketing and the digital marketing role that I play here, the degree that I studied in the US, it sort of aligns perfectly into all of the things that I have been doing in the past 3 years and I continue to do. It just helps give a better perspective.
Talk about being well-rounded marketing leader.
Thank you. Appreciate
You did the science before and then the marketing later, so you could have
Yes.
a holistic approach to both science and marketing.
Yes. No, it definitely helps because there are so many products, especially in the B2B space. There are so many technical products that need to be marketed, and they need to speak to consumers. A lot of the brands end up missing out on their target audience because they're unable to convert the technicality of their product into a very digestible, unique selling proposition, or the USP, as we call it. And people miss out on it. They lose sales, they lose leads, and then they're wondering why their campaigns are not working and why they have been spending so many dollars and it's just going down the gutter and it's not working out. So it's always important to understand how you need to speak to the audience that is giving you the revenue as a brand.
Just by this conversation, whatever we have had right now, I can feel already that this podcast is going to be a great one because of all the insights that you have. And you have been working in three continents, which is, I am not sure a lot of people have done that. And it's your USP. And
Right.
I'm so excited to get into this conversation and learn more about your career and all the insights that you have for us.
Sure.
So let's get started. You
Okay.
started your marketing career in Mumbai before making an early move to Dubai. What was transition like? And looking back, How did it set the tone for the kind of leader you were going to become?
So here's the thing. When I did move to Dubai from Mumbai, before that, I started working in a very humble, one-of-a-kind marketing agency called, it's a digital marketing agency at the time, and it was called Interactive Avenues, based out of Santa Cruz East. It was the first time that, you have just completed your graduation and you're starting to work. It was just an amazing feeling. And what set it aside was the fact that it was a digital marketing agency. And this is back in 2008. So nobody really knew what digital marketing was. So I remember coming back home and explaining to my parents that, those ads that you see when you type something on Google, or the links that come up right on top when you've put in a word, the word is called a keyword, and those results that you see, I am driving those results and I know what link goes up first and I'm able to influence that. So it was a very fresh and very new concept for so many people. Traditional media at the time was, and probably it's still point at this point, it is considered as TV, radio, and print, more so at that time. And I remember we used to talk to our clients about this in our marketing pitches that, US market and the Europe market at that time had the highest digital marketing penetration through the traditional media, which technically meant that digital marketing spaces, social media, SEM, SEO had surpassed all traditional formats of media right at that time when it was 2008. And it used to take time for people to understand those concepts because all they thought was Google and Facebook. And that's all that existed. Nobody really understood what goes behind it, what you need to do on them, all of those things. They were very elusive. So it was great fun. It was for a short period of time, I think about 6 months or so. After which I moved to Dubai to do my MBA from the Institute of Management Technology, but the Dubai campus. So this is one of India's top 10 B schools. The original one was in Ghaziabad, it still is, and it has multiple campuses now across the globe. I did it from Dubai in marketing, retail management, graduated, and then just continued working there.
But that's great. Like this journey from digital marketing agency to doing your MBA in Dubai and then placing yourself into retail marketing and then growing from there onwards, that definitely was big transition and also rightly placed you so for becoming the future leader that you're today are. And this has been exciting. I do want to know how, what your parents' reaction was when you told about that you would be managing the behind the scenes of the ads that we see on the Google search or, and search back then was so different.
Yes, it was very different. Like I said, it took time for them to sort of understand the concept, and I can confidently say that, they were not the only ones who could not decipher what is happening. To them, it was just typing a word in a search engine and getting results. So to be able to explain to them that there is an entire dashboard behind all this that drives those results. You put in certain parameters, you pay some amount of money to every word that you're sort of placing on that little bar of the search engine, which is driving those results. Of course, there are so many additional parameters now that, contribute to those results. But at that time, it was all about finding the right keywords and paying the least amount of money. It still is the
Yeah.
concept, but there are other factors which did not exist at the time. So there were biddings and there are campaign managements, and the Google Analytics that you see at the back end today is so much more advanced and developed than what it was, because they have refined and rebuilt and built it, so much better now versus what it used to be at the time. At the time, I would say it was a very binary sort of a situation. You had like multiple campaigns under a certain brand. And then you had, I remember we used to research close to 200 to 500 keywords for one campaign. And Now you have tools like SEMrush and all of these other platforms that help you get these results in a matter of seconds, and they are all AI driven or they are all research driven that is fed at the back end of these platforms. At that time, we used to do these things manually. We would sit and brainstorm through hours in the evening and sit with pizzas and beers, like, listen, this is the brand and this is the campaign. What are those keywords that could trigger a certain response, a certain thought process? And those were the keywords that used to go in. It used to be even more difficult. This is an SEM campaign I'm talking about. The SEO campaigns were even more difficult because they are unpaid. So it's more, kind of tough to comprehend what a certain person may think and associate the brand with. And these are all to do with your positive keywords, not even getting to the negative keywords that you need to think of to negate not having to show up as a brand in certain search results, because then you're ending up paying that money, not converting to leads, and again, money going down the drain. So the ROI is definitely not beneficial for your client.
I guess this is how brand leaders are made, marketing leaders are made. You have to go through all of this as a rite of passage, and then only you become into this transformed person who is going to be leading all these brands. So, yeah.
Definitely.
You have owned P&Ls and overseen multi-million dollar media budgets across multiple roles. How does that level of financial accountability change the way that you think and operate as a marketer versus someone who's executing within someone else's budget?
So I think the core value system lies in the fact that you have to not pretend that this is somebody else's money or your own. You always have to look at it from a perspective that this is the money that belongs to me. It's my ownership, it's my onus, and I have to be able to drive the best results. Yes, I'm not gonna, sound holier than thou to and tell you that it does not hurt when it's your own money versus the organization that you're working for. It does. There is a certain level of 19-20 balance that happens for sure. But the best results are always driven from the fact that you need to understand that this is your budget. You are responsible for it entirely, and there is no way that you can pretend to have an excuse that, oh, I just ended up spending this without getting the results. And it's obvious that you not always get results, but you need to understand why it did not convert the way that you needed it to. And that then further needs to be implemented. I think that mindset in itself drives successful leaders or successful managers to be able to manage good, healthy P&Ls. And it does not matter how big or small the brand is, or how big or small the company or organization is. That is what entails as a mindset, I would say.
Do you have a fond memory of such a occasion where you were leading a P&L and it was like, okay, this is turning out something bigger than I expected?
Yes, I have two fond memories, one good and one bad, honestly. And let me give you the bad one first, because why not? It's about making mistakes. I remember this was in my role at Al Futtaim, and I was managing one of the Italian luxury watch brands there. It was a smaller brand that we had started retailing through our stores then. And this is back in 2019, I would say. So yes, we had started retailing then through a few of our stores, and the distribution was going well, the sales was going well. We were able to scale the marketing campaigns through digital and offline, and they were going pretty successful to a point that when we came down to, kind of consolidating all the marketing spends and the campaigns, we realized that we were above the budget by a good amount. And I started panicking, because how do I pay for something that I've already spent and have been invoiced, but there is no money for it? So again, like I said, it is about taking ownership of your actions, about understanding where you have gone wrong And even though the results were great, so I think that kind of played to my advantage that we were able to, deliver those results. I immediately went to my managing director and head of the company, and I told him that this is a goof up that happened. I miscalculated something, but we have good results. We have been able to generate the revenue. So, of course, that extra bit of money did get cut out from the gross margin that we were supposed to realize. And I wouldn't say that there were super bad repercussions for it because there were results. But yes, I have goofed up on those things. It's mistakes that I think everybody makes because we're all human. And there were certain things to back it up to be able to help with the extra cost. The good example that I could give you is one of the, and this was back in 2011. This was for a company called Supermax that I was working in. And as opposed to Supermax as a brand here in the US, which is a very high security jail, this is a company in personal care. It's a razor blade company. It looks into foams, gels, razor blades for men and women. And it is headquartered in Dubai, UAE. That was my first job. And I was 2 years out of my MBA graduation. And I successfully was able to execute the global launch of something called Enviro, which is an eco-friendly line of foams and gels. And when I say eco-friendly, I'm sure everybody's aware of the CFCs and the gases that, that are there in the cans now, foams and gels. This was not driven by CFC. It had a pump at the bottom of the can. Well, it was not even a metal can. It was a recycled plastic bottle, which had a pump at the bottom, and that it suctions the air from underneath to be able to pump out the product out of the nozzle. So, of course, it took care of addressing the problem of the depletion of ozone layer at the time and all of those things. So, it was a great brand. It was a great line of products. And I was successfully able to launch it across, I think, five time zones and four continents.
Wow.
Very Apple style, very Tim Cook style, I would say. We had an entire screen, driving the launch, the TVC, and then there were people coming into the crowd, which was obviously an offline setup as well, that was getting screened across different parts of the globe. And there were promoters that were walking through the crowd, distributing the product in different sample sizes for people to test and discuss, get the touch and feel and all of that. It was close to, I want to say, about $100,000 of spent that we made at the time,
Wow.
which definitely, considering inflation, that was a good amount of money. But it was a success, and we were able to generate revenue on the spot and get orders
Wow.
on the spot and go into profit right from the time of launch. So it was definitely a great experience doing that, for sure.
Both of these situations, I'm sure, had their own certain way of thrill.
Yes.
The bad story also had its own thrill, and the good story definitely has its own thrill.
Yes.
And exciting times to be in, considering that today everything can be automized using AI. You won't get to live such experiences where things go haywire and you are like managing to do the scrapes, or else in the other situation where things are going beyond your expectations and you are beyond excited and you're beyond elevated, and the company is happy with the results that you have given. It's, I hope AI has a role back.
Yes, no, I mean, honestly speaking, I'm slightly traditional in my thinking, not just with my profession, but on a personal level too. And I think that, yes, AI is hugely beneficial. It saves so much time. Yes, it's taking away a lot of jobs too, and not to, negate that fact. I understand all of the positives and the negatives, but one of the negatives that I am, anticipating and I'm scared about is that we are driving AI for a fact. But the problem with that is that if we end up giving the wrong prompts and commands, the mistakes can be huge. The mistakes can be really bad, and it can be a make or break situation for the employee, for the brand, for the org. It can go into so many different aspects of it, right? So it leaves very little room for us as humans to make errors, because that is a program that is automated driving on your commands. If you end up giving the wrong command, it can really ruin things. And yeah, the error margins are very, very minimal in that case, which is risky, but I'm sure we'll work around that too.
I'm traditional in this way, just like you. I do not feel human creativity can be beat by AI, which does not have its mind of its own. It's being fed data to reproduce results. You can feed data and reproduce results, but the lack of creativity, the lack of human touch will definitely, and we have seen examples, many examples of it, it will definitely not lead to greater sales or greater leads. But yeah. Let's
No,
see
I
where it
mean,
goes.
I know, like with AI, people are really there are completely two polar sides to it, right? Somebody is like a super enthusiast, and somebody is like, no way in hell am I going to ever do that. But what people, and I would refer to the negative part of it at this point, because the point that I'm going to drive is of that of Maslow's hierarchy, but from an AI perspective. And there are different, levels to AI. We into 2023, when ChatGPT came out, that was the basic format of AI. Now we are in a phase which is called the agentic AI, basically, that these are different agents that are driving different models and different tasks across different platforms. The next stage of it is going to be adding basically a hub as an AI agent, which is working with all of these agents. So it essentially becomes a project manager that is managing different AI agents to drive one task. Let's just take a report, for example. If we are driving sales or marketing reports from Salesforce or from HubSpot, we are first going to run a set of filters. I have them pre-added. Every morning we come and run those reports. We drive a set of analysis. We understand what's happening, what's not happening, save it to our local folders, email it to respective people, all of those things. And there are different AIs now, which are called agentic AIs, that can do all of these tasks separately. And then you, as a single person, need to collate these tasks together. We are slowly moving into a spot where me, as a person, I'm not having to do that single task of collating these, different actions into one thing and then taking it further. AI is going to start doing that. So that's going to become the central hub of my actions. So I have to click a button, all of these things get done. I get the final thing and I just move forward with it. I'm ready to go. That is something that we are graduating to now. Then it's going to go into something called super intelligence, wherein AI is going to slowly start assimilating our behaviors, our patterns, understand and predict. It is already predicting our actions and thought processes, but it's going to be much more advanced. And then eventually it's going to get to a super conscious level, which is what people are getting scared of, that, oh my God, the robots are going to take over and artificial intelligence is going to take over. They can think for us, they can work for us. It is decades away at this point, at least in my opinion. It wouldn't be for in the very near future. Yes, it's advancing overnight. Things are changing overnight, but there is still time to go. And we have a moral responsibility for the generations coming up and the society that is getting built around us to keep the positives and the morality within the system so AI can assimilate that and take it further.
Like you said, it's still decades away. And all of these technologies already making me like, oh, okay, there is so much for me to learn still. At AlphaTame, you were leading cross-functional teams of 50 plus people across marketing and retail, while also aligning with global headquarters of principal luxury Swiss watch brands. What do you think of the difference between being a great marketer and actually running a marketing function?
I think they are not different. Definitely not different, because Being a great marketer means that you have a good vision of what your brand or your product is. And you need to be able to talk accordingly, not just in person, but through your brand. Being able to lead as a marketing manager successfully entails essentially that. So when I say that you need to be able to communicate effectively, I always say this: marketing is a role of communication. It is a part of communication. You are either speaking to another client, another fellow person who's going to help you with something that you're working on, but it is essentially communicating effectively as to what you need to be as your end goal or your end result. Having said that, I don't see much of a difference is because if you have not been able to comprehend your role accurately, you will not be able to understand what is expected of you as a marketer or as a leader. And if you don't understand either of those roles, how can you ever anticipate to manage one person or 50 others, or be able to manage another consumer or target audience, which is something that I do now? You know, it's like a one-man show at Multisorb, and it does not really help to not know what is expected of me as the end goal. So definitely they are not different. I wouldn't say, at least I don't look at it in any different.
They are actually not different, because if you're talking about being a great marketer and running a marketing function, both of these mix at some point, and you cannot really differentiate between where
Definitely.
one leads and where one ends. So you're actually right about that.
No, definitely.
So across your MENA years, FMCG, luxury, consumer electronics, broadcast media, you were essentially building and rebuilding your playbook across very different industries. What did that teach you about how to come into new organization and establish credibility quickly?
So one of the things that I take a lot of pride in, personally and professionally, I'm a very flexible person. I'm somebody who can adapt very easily to any situation. And that is one of the biggest reasons why I have been able to work across so many different industries and global markets. Because when you work in different industries which are not overlapping with each other, which have no ties to each other whatsoever, you need to very quickly be able to change your mindset, adapt it to the new situation, to the new product, to the new understanding of the environment, and then be able to, you know, take projects forward successfully anyway. And I always make sure to tell my employers that I do need some time to adapt myself to understand what the product is, what the brand is, and how I need to move forward with communicating that. It is definitely something that I think people should also speak about when they're interviewing for different positions and stuff. When you mention something like that explicitly, it makes sure that people who are hiring you, the hiring authorities, the hiring managers, they understand that you are thinking from the right mindset, you're thinking from the right perspective. You are aware of a certain process that needs to be followed, and you are not taking things for granted. So when that happens, you are automatically given extra room for adjustments, errors, I would say, all of these things, right? So yes, when I worked across different of these products and industries, it helped to be flexible-minded. It helped to be able to be the person who's sitting and listening and observing processes, brands, habits, much like, you know, we were talking about AI just now, assimilating behaviors and patterns to understand what is happening currently, and then to be able to understand how you can improve it. I would say that is one of the biggest reasons why I've been able to do it successfully in terms of industries. The same thing sort of comes into perspective when you talk about managing global markets across different channels and platforms, is because every culture, every region across the globe is a different culture, different language, different country, different patterns. Unless you are a good observer, unless you are able to understand these things and not just focusing on, oh, this is my task and I need to do. You cannot be like, walking with blinkers. You have to have a very open mind, and that allows you flexibility and adaptability to be able to understand what effective communication in that perspective looks like. That I would say is one of the biggest reasons why I've been able to manage projects successfully.
I resonate with your point that you cannot walk with blinkers. You need to have a very open mind when you are stepping into such roles, when you are stepping into such industries. Because of course you have your probationary period, but then when you have adapted to that, you are also overcome with new information almost every single time that you attempt something new. And to be wary of that, to be aware of that, is
Absolutely.
also a task on its own. And you rightly said, then only you can like position yourself into a leader. I think this is the playbook of how to become a marketing leader 101. That's your experience expanding over three continents, working into, I think, almost every industry that you have touched, you have worked with. It's crazy that amount of experience that you have. It's 15 long years, and your hard work is being repaid into how you have positioned yourself, how people perceive you. And I hear you are going to be on a marketing roadshow
Yes.
held by one of our professors, Bob Cargill. And
Yes.
I'm so excited to hear you talk about your experiences at that
Yeah,
point
no,
also.
I'm very excited about that myself because it's just an amazing, I mean, Bob Cargill is one of the really amazing and very insightful professors that we have had at Northeastern. He also teaches at Suffolk, where you have been there as well. Yes, he comes across as this extravagant, larger than life person, personally and professionally, but it does not in any way take away from the amount of knowledge that man has through his years of work in the industry and so many projects and brands that he has managed and marketed. So there's like tons of things to learn from him. And I'm gonna like shamelessly plug in my keynote speaking session and the marketing roadshow here because it is such a great opportunity for freshers and industry veterans alike. An entire day of people, like-minded people from the same industry coming in together. It's like a great amalgamation on an exchange of ideas for 24 hours to understand what's going to happen, what's trending. So many of us are not even aware anymore of what is not correct to be done anymore. And we are continuing to do the wrong things and maybe not getting results and to understand where we are going wrong. And I'm really looking forward to the Bob Cargill Marketing Roadshow,
So am I, so
which
am
I'm.
I. I'm more excited about the speakers I'm gonna, and to have you on the speaker
Oh,
list,
thanks.
I'm like
Yes.
so excited to hear you speak about your experiences and change a lot of our lives forever because of the insights that you have had in this expansive career and more years to come, of course.
Yeah. No,
So,
I really
yeah.
hope I'm able to drive some impact, some good impact for sure, not bad, and be able to give certain insights.
You are right. Talking about Northeastern, you made a deliberate decision to pursue graduate education in US and enter a completely new market. As
Yes.
someone who has already been operating at a leadership level, how did you navigate that reset? How and what did it take to rebuild authority in a new context?
Well, I will tell you a few things. One of the more personal things that I would tell you is I was burnt out with corporate. Corporate life in general just takes away a lot from you as a person. And I can tell you very confidently that the Asian market and the Middle Eastern market does not understand work-life balance very well. Yes, the US corporate market also does not thrive on work-life balance. I understand that. But it is certainly better than what you see eastward. Europe definitely is one of the best places to be in that perspective because they are known for their work-life balance culture, which is not the case here. But having said that, what drove me primarily was that. And yes, I know that we are talking about marketing topics and everything, but it is important as a professional, young professional like you, or even veterans who are, with 30, 40 years of experience in the industry. Sometimes we forget that we need to take a step back, recuperate, and, kind of reroute the entire situation so that we have a healthier body and mind to work with. What drove me towards this particular degree was the fact that I have been meaning to do a formal course in digital marketing. I had been meaning to do that for a while, I would say since 2013 or 2014. And I was at the time taking my GRE, preparing for it, all of that, and somehow it did not pan out at the time. It did not work out. I got some better opportunities within UAE at that time, and I sort of let go of this and I pushed it to the back burner. But then pandemic hit, and once it did, it sort of made life essential for everybody to be online and be digital. So yes, throughout my career, I have seen digital marketing being birthed right in front of me. Starting from 2008, when what I was talking about in the digital agency I started working in. But I have also seen a transition from just being born to being hybrid and then completely go online during the pandemic. And it was essential that I expanded my knowledge base and sort of validated it with a certification, with a formal education. And then take it forward. Not to say that I did not know anything about digital marketing before that. Of course, I did, because I've worked throughout that entire span with all kinds of platforms, softwares, and tools. But having a certification and a degree in the expertise that you hold already takes it to the next level. It gives a higher sense of confidence. And that is what drove me towards taking this. Was the transition good? Yes. Was it difficult? Yes. Because, combining about 11 to 12 years of your life, putting it back into a box in three suitcases and moving continents transatlantic is a task.
A
We
huge task
all,
at that.
huge one. And then, as immigrants, you always have your, apprehensions of how things are going to pan out in the future. And this market is known to be, difficult with processes and documentation. So there is no doubt that there are opportunities, but that also makes it more difficult to be able to carve your path as an immigrant. And yes, I did have my apprehensions while moving, but I kept the expectations to the bare minimum. That automatically eases the process. And then whatever comes your way, you are able to build from that. Versus if your expectations are right through the roof and you're not able to achieve them early on in your game, you are automatically demotivated and you don't want to do anything after that.
When you talk about packing up your bag and moving transatlantic, it's huge. And I feel a lot of people don't realize that, of course, you bring your own learnings throughout this process, but you also bring a lot of, adjusting to a different geographical area, adjusting to new norms, adjusting to new behavior, and then taking all of that into account and
Yes.
then restarting, essentially restarting your life. It takes a
Absolutely.
toll on ourselves, and of course, we grow
Definitely.
through that process. We definitely grow, but then we also stop and think of what life was and what life is now
Is
and
now,
how
yeah.
far we have come. And
Absolutely.
it's a beautiful journey on its own.
It is a beautiful journey when you look back and you definitely get that sense of achievement for sure. But while going through the motions, good times are great. Bad times, you're like, why am I even doing this? You are questioning your entire existence. And I think we have all been there. And I can confidently tell you it's not just here. I have lived my entire adult life as an immigrant. Now here, before that in the Middle East, and every place has its own rules, regulations, restrictions, nuances, so to say. And you need to adapt. That is the biggest adaptability that you need to have as an immigrant, as a professional who's trying to build their life outside of their comfort zone, I would say.
I completely second that. I agree. And that's how you become fine wine. You have to season.
Yes.
You have to
Yes.
go through a lot of changes and acquire a lot of taste, I guess. And
Definitely.
that's the final product that we see in front of
Yes.
ourselves. We are the sweeter version of whatever our existence has been.
I agree.
At Multisorb, you are bridging marketing, R&D, product, and production to turn into technical innovation into commercial narratives. That's a significant organizational challenge. How do you lead that kind of cross-functional alignment, especially when marketing isn't always seen as the driver?
So here's the thing. People think that B2B is not driven by marketing. That is not correct. B2B requires, if not equal, more marketing as an effort within the system to drive it successfully and to be able to achieve the end goal that the brand requires. Why I say that is because when you are working in a D2C environment, you sort of have a playbook that you can go with, irrespective of whether you've worked with that industry or not, if it's overlapping with another industry or not. It doesn't matter because D2C has, at least in my opinion, it has more data and research to back it up because there are so many focus groups and so many studies that have been already conducted from a consumer point of view for any brand to be able to be a success. You have to just know the right places to look at and refer to. In B2B, that is very different, to say the least, is because it is not as easy, is because you're not directly talking to one person, you are talking to an entire agency and organization as a brand. So there are more minds to influence, the expanse is bigger. Marketing becomes very different in that environment. And this is the first time that I've worked in a B2B system. I have always worked before this in a direct to consumer. So it took me, I would say, a longer time to adapt myself to this communication system to understand how to be able to market better versus what it took me in my other roles, the time that it took me in my other roles. But yes, it is different. It needs you to understand very, very deep meanings, researches, technical details of that. And if you don't, again, your communication is going to have a gap. Your communication having a gap is going to not result in the right revenues, leads, or basically help you achieve the end goal. So it is tough, especially when you're a one-man show. It is difficult when you need to manage projects with R&D, with product, with the leadership team. But there are so many facets that I need to look into from a central role of marketing and then be able to mobilize and equip my sales team with those communication material, with those flyers, catalogs, website, whatever that it may be that talks about the brand and the product that they need to convert that final query into a sale and realize that revenue. That is the tough part, I would say, but also extremely rewarding is because then you understand what is working and what is not.
What was more exciting for you, B2B or D2C?
Honestly, I think I prefer the B2B environment. I don't know if it's the experience talking or if it is because I'm comfortable where I am, but I feel like the dynamics of the B2B environment is much more challenging, but because of the challenging nature of it, it is so much more rewarding than the D2C part. Or maybe it's because I have done D2C enough that I'm enjoying the change right now in the B2B environment.
I believe
Slightly.
it's the latter. After a point, you need new challenges, you need
Yes,
new
I guess.
innovation. And I feel this environment is the perfect setting for you. It is providing you
Probably.
with new challenges.
Yes, I would say so.
Looking across South Asia, MENA, and North America, where do you think marketing leadership looks most different? And what does each region get right and what others could learn from?
Every region has its unique points. I wouldn't rank any better than the other, honestly speaking. There are different perspectives in how you can look at different markets. In terms of North America, well, I would say that marketing is quite advanced here for the fact that it is one of the largest markets. So having worked in, so many global platforms, I can say this: North America, Africa, Saudi. These are three areas in global markets, I would say, that any brand, if is present in the vicinity of these regions, should know how to tap into these markets, is because they are important subsets to have because of the sheer size of the geography that they entail. Any brand, distribution, B2B, D2C, it does not matter. If you don't know how to target and talk to these particular set of people in these geographies, your brand would either be a failure in a worst case situation, but if not, it will take a very, very long and difficult time to succeed. That's the reason I say that it's not, I cannot rank one on top of the other. They have their own nuances, they have their own advantages. So the North American market is very advanced in terms of its marketing communications. However, one thing that I do see that I feel somehow lags within the North American market is customizations. Customizations is something that talks to people in any format, B2B or D2C, it does not matter. Technically, sort of dovetails into lead generation and revenue realizations, because the more customized a certain piece of communication, a certain ad, email, SMS, WhatsApp, the details of that customization tells the person that you are communicating with that we see you, we know who you are, and we understand your needs. The moment you are able to converse to them at that level, the moment you are able to communicate that to them, that is when your brand has taken precedence in their, active consideration set in the consumer mindset, and that will help you re realize your revenues and goals. That is something that I don't see very happening very actively here in the North American market. What lags probably in the MENA region, which is your Middle East and North Africa market, is the tools and techniques that exist here, because the tools and techniques that exist here help you to take those customizations forward. So there's a good reach in customization within the South Asian market and the MENA region, but the kind of platforms and tools you have here are still sort of getting there. People are still gaining experience, hands-on experience, I would say, in those markets. And that is what is lagging over there. Probably by the time they get hands-on experience to understand, use these tools and platforms, it will take them really further and advanced into the game. But until such time, we have to wait and watch how this materializes.
You are right. When you do something special for someone, you feel seen, and then it is reciprocated in sales for B2B and D2C. And that's actually a very key insight that you have. I was also wondering, do you predict your next venture in the European market?
I mean, honestly speaking, I'm not looking at moving anytime soon. Like I told you, it is really exhilarating as an experience, but it is also an experience in
That is
itself.
true.
I have been in the country like for about 5 and a half years at this point, and I would like to explore this market, this culture, this country for sure. It's a huge expanse. The journey never ends here. Both these countries, India and the US, they are such big geographies, and every zip code is so different from one another, culturally, accents, language, food, all of these things, that there is so much to explore. I have been lucky, I want to say. I have always been encouraged to travel, and there has been a need to travel as well from a professional perspective speaking. Not to say that I don't want to go deeper into the European markets. I do, because Europe in itself has countries that are very different from each other. They have very different cultures. There are nuances that you need to understand, realize, and address. So, yes, I'm always looking out for opportunities such as those to challenge me. Basically, just become a more holistic person professionally and personally speaking. So, yes, if anybody out there wants to, kind of get in touch with me for European markets, I'm here. I'm going to take part in it in any capacity that I can.
I think quite a few brands and industries would be wanting to tap into Amrita Dutta's
I
business
hope
because, like I said, this is a marketing playbook 101 and
so.
how to become a leader, how to, take authority, how to manage the vast landscape of marketing itself and then across different geographical areas. It is not easy. I am sure your journey has had its own share of ups and downs and a lot of curves that may bowl over anyone else. But I like that you're still standing tall and more power to you on that.
No, thank you. Thank you so much, Aidan. I think I cannot attribute my success just to myself. It's definitely my family, even though they're so far away from me at this point. It is a huge motivation to have a strong family set up as your backbone, and then your immediate acquired family to wherever that you move. And I am very proud of the friends, the close friends that I have. They are my support system, they are my network. No matter where I've moved, I have always been able to depend on them. That would be one of the biggest points that I would want to make to anybody who's listening to this podcast, that if you're away from home, depend on your network, depend on your close set of friends, extend your help and your support to whoever that you see needs it, because everybody needs it, and you are just building stronger relationships because you don't know when you would require it.
For a marketer who wants to grow into the leadership role just like you, and not just be good at that, but actually run a function, own outcomes, lead teams, what's the most important shift in thinking that they need to make?
Honestly speaking, you have to have a mindset of ownership. You have to have a mindset of flexibility, because those two things sort of go hand in hand. And as somebody who's trying to help, establish an agency myself, I'm not the owner, but then I am definitely the strategic partner in helping one of my very close friends and acquaintances from back in Dubai to set up her own agency in digital marketing. The only reason, again, that I'm being able to do that is because I feel a sense of ownership that I need to extend to be able to help develop project, but to be able to translate them into effective strategies, you need to have ownership and flexibility. Flexibility is the second arm of it, wherein if you don't have the flexibility to understand that I may be wrong and I have to be able to accept that there is newer, fresher perspective that is available now. If you don't have that flexibility, that adaptability, you cannot function. You will be looking at things with blinkers, like I said before, and that can never lead you to success.
That makes sense. As this conversation comes to an end, do you have any parting insight for our young listeners, for our professionals who are into the same role that you are in, or to anyone who's looking to get started?
Be flexible, be adaptable, because things are changing in marketing as an industry very dynamically today. And I'm a big AI enthusiast, but having said that, if you are not somebody who can accept change more readily, you will have a terrible time surviving because having an open mind is the key to it right now. Everything changes overnight. I learn a platform, I learn a tool, I learn a software today with AI. Tomorrow morning, I wake up and it has just changed. It has become obsolete. I wouldn't even say change. I would, go to the extreme point and say it's become obsolete. And I have to re-engage myself to relearn what I have done 24 hours ago. So, if you are not able to adapt to those changes, a person starting off new or a person trying to, build their career in this industry, it's going to be extremely hard. Don't feel threatened because it's technology. So, let's not question the changes that are coming. They are coming irrespective whether you like it or not, it is going to be there. Might as well take it in our strides. Learn, understand, and grow with it. Everybody's life is going to be better for. The only other thing that I would want to say to people who are probably taking the leap of faith and moving across borders and continents, be adaptable, be resilient. Times are tough, globally speaking, everywhere. On personal level, things are tough. The geopolitical situations, they affect the economies, they affect the job markets, all of those things. But if you're not resilient, you will not be able to move forward. It's very easy to get bogged down in the current day and age. Have a healthy mindset of people around you that you can lean on in times of need. That will take you through. And no matter what, you will succeed if you keep that mindset.
Well, this was great conversation with tons of insight. And again, to plug it back in, we will be hearing more from you on Marketing Roadshow from Bob Cargill coming next month,
Absolutely.
which is, I think,
It's on the April 10th. It is in Hult University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. There are going to be tons of speakers, panelists. I'm going to be speaking as a keynote speaker with AI and global marketing. And I hope that people can come and join us. Tickets are available on Eventbrite, and you have discount codes for students. You have exhibitor tables there if you want to come and promote your business there. So yes, it's going to be great. I look forward to seeing you there, Chetna.
Same
It'll
here.
be
I look
so
forward
much
to
fun.
meeting you in person, and
Thank
thank you
you.
for sharing your journey with us, this expansive journey that you have had and all the learnings that you got. We can learn secondhand from you, from your experiences. And I'm so happy to have you as a guest on this podcast because this is a great, great lesson in life. Be adaptable, be resilient, and come what may, you will succeed if you have both these qualities. And you have shown that over and over in all the three spheres of your life.
No, I'm glad that I could give in my 2 cents to
I believe it
people.
was more than 2 cents, it was a whole dollar.
No, thank you. And thank you, Chetna, for having me. It has been a great time speaking to you this morning. It's just been an amazing experience sharing my knowledge, the little bit that I have. And thank you so much for giving me this platform to talk to you.
Likewise, I think we are the blessed ones to have you on board and
I'm
to
glad.
listen from your experience. And that's all for it today, folks. We'll see you in the next episode.